In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Bartimaeus was the blind man's name. Luke doesn't give us his name, but the other Gospels do. His name was Bartimaeus, sitting by the roadside there in Jericho, and he was blind. But I want to start out with a different story about blindness, one that you may, some of you may remember, but it's not as well known. It's in the book of Acts. Okay, so you remember St. Paul, before he was St. Paul, before he was a big missionary of the gospel, was Saul, and he was a zealous Jew who hated Christians, and he did everything he could to stop the gospel. So he was going around getting permission to arrest Christians, put them in prison, even have them executed and so forth. He was there when Stephen was stoned to death. He was there when that happened. So Saul was not a real good guy, but he was on his way to Damascus, and if you remember, God stopped him on the way. Jesus appeared to him and said, you know, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? Well, then he became the missionary that we know him as. Well, after this all happened, he spent quite a long time in Antioch, which is today Syria. About a year or so he was in Antioch. And then what happened was the Holy Spirit said to Saul and Barnabas, I've got some different plans for you guys, and I want you to go and bring the gospel to these other lands. So that was the start now of his first missionary journey. Maybe you remember from Confirmation Sunday School, whatever, that he had three missionary journeys where he traveled around with the gospel. So this is the first one. So they set sail, they leave Antioch, and they set sail there, and they sail to this little island of Cyprus. And since you don't have the benefit of a map like I had all week, that I could stare at a map and figure this all out, Cyprus is right in the middle of that Mediterranean Sea there. Like if you go just west of the Holy Land or south of what today is Turkey, there's this island Cyprus there, and it's still Cyprus today. But then it was a Roman, of course, a Roman province. And Paul gets there, he's not Paul yet. Saul and Barnabas get there, and they land in this town of Salamis, and they go to synagogues where there are Jews, and they're proclaiming the gospel about Jesus, how he fulfilled the Old Testament, he was the Messiah. And they do that for a while, and then they walk through the island. It's about 200 miles or so from one end to the other. And they walk through the island to the southwestern end to this town of city of Paphos. Now, Paphos is really cool. If you look it up online, you can see it's a beautiful city because it's right there. It's a port city right in the Mediterranean. It looks very tropical and everything. So they get a lot of tourists. But they also, in Paphos, have all kinds of archaeological ruins. So you can go, if you're ever blessed, to go visit Paphos on the island of Cyprus. You can go see this archaeological spot where they believe is the very place where Saul and Barnabas met with the governor. So they called him the proconsul. His name was Sergius Paulus, but he's like a governor of that whole island of Cyprus. And he wanted to hear what Saul and Barnabas were preaching. So he invited Saul and Barnabas to come in and tell him about this Jesus and this gospel. Now that's pretty cool that they get invited to this major Roman official, right? Well, there was one little problem. If you know the story, you know what's coming. There's one little problem. Sergius Paulus had this advisor, you might call him. The book of Acts calls him a Jewish false prophet, also calls him a sorcerer and a magician. So his name was Bar-Jesus, but they called him Elymas. And Elymas did not want his governor to hear about this Jesus. Because, of course, you know, Elymas, he's a sorcerer, a magician, so he pretends like he can prophesy the future for the governor and stuff. You know, this is how he makes a living. So if his governor, Sergius Paulus, becomes a Christian, he's going to lose his job. So he really opposes Saul and Barnabas. I mean, I get this picture like Saul and Barnabas coming in there trying to talk to Sergius Paulus, the governor, and he's just getting in the way, berating them, calling them names, telling them this is all made up. Well, here's the punchline. Saul, which, you know, St. Paul, same guy, he gets really frustrated. He's tired of this guy. He's trying to proclaim the gospel to this Roman official, and this Elymas keeps getting in the way. So finally, he turns to him and says, I'm going to read you his exact words so you know this is not just me paraphrasing. He says, Acts 13:10, you son of the devil, you enemy of all righteousness, full of all deceit and villainy, Will you not stop making crooked the straight paths of the Lord? And now, behold, the hand of the Lord is upon you, and you will be blind and unable to see the sun for a time. And so then Acts tells us that there came like this mist and darkness on this Elymas, and he couldn't see. Just like that, Saul, because Elymas was so blind in here, in his heart, he would not believe in Jesus, refused to hear the gospel. Because he was so blind in here, Saul made him blind up here. That's really interesting. And part of what makes that so interesting is the same thing happened to Saul. Remember I said he was on the road to Damascus, Jesus appears to him, says, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? Well, you might remember what happened then. He went blind. And they had to lead him by the hand all the way to Damascus, and he didn't get his sight back until he finally met Ananias, who proclaimed the gospel to him, and then it says scales fell from his eyes and he could see again. What I'm getting at here is that in the scriptures, blindness in here, in your heart, is very much connected with, and even a bigger issue than, blindness up here in your eyes. So maybe you have 20/20 vision here in your eyes, but you are utterly blind in here. Or at the same time, you might be blind up here, but you see perfectly in here. And that's the gospel reading. That's Bartimaeus. He cannot see physically with his eyes, but in here, he sees perfectly. He sees Jesus and knows that he is the Son of David and his Savior, and he knows that Jesus is going to give him his sight back. Now that's pretty cool. Just like Elymas and just like Saul, you and I have to see the blindness that's in here first. That's what we've got to reckon with. We're not so much concerned with blindness here. We all have to deal with that, or at least some of us do. But it's in here where the real problem is. We're often so blind to our own sin. So you all know how Jesus says it, right? He says that before you're trying to remove the speck in someone else's eye to help them to see, you need to remove what? The log in your own eye. Here's the problem. We can't see, and yet we're trying to help other people see. What does Jesus call it? He says to the Pharisees, you're the blind leading the blind. And this is the real problem. One pastor I read, I thought this was very clever. He said, you know, when it comes to finding other people's faults, we have like eagle eye vision. We can spot it from miles away. Yep, right there. That person's a sinner. But when it comes to our own sins, we're blind as a bat. Right? Now, if you're married or ever been married, you know exactly this. You know it just without a doubt because you know how easy it is to find your spouse's faults. Every last one of them to the minutest detail. But to find your own faults as a husband or a wife, we find very difficult. If you're a sibling, you know this. When you're little kids, you know, it's so easy going tattle to mom and dad on the siblings, right? But you never do anything wrong. And then I was thinking about, you know, this is even true when we're adult siblings, right? And you see all of your siblings and you think they're the ones with all the problems and they're the ones that do everything wrong. And of course, you know, nothing is ever your fault. Same thing at work or at school, right? The people you work with, it's easy to find where everybody else is not as good a worker or they're messing up, but to find your own faults so hard. We know this, right? It's our blindness. It's in here. It's in our hearts, that blindness. We're blind to our own weaknesses and sins. Now, I cannot give you a better example of this than our epistle reading today, 1 Corinthians 13. Everybody knows 1 Corinthians 13, right? We love it. It may very well be the most well-known chapter of the Bible. I don't know how you would figure that out. But 1 Corinthians 13, love is patient and kind. Love does not envy or boast. Love is not arrogant or rude. Love doesn't insist on its own way. And we love this chapter. But we love it, and at the same time, we don't see how blind we are to it. Just take a couple of these. Love is patient and kind. Oh, so sweet, so wonderful. Are you and I patient and kind? The times that we are patient and kind are so few and far between from the times we are not patient and kind. I mean, this love that Paul's describing is 1 Corinthians 13. It's not really describing us all the time. Or love doesn't envy or boast. Oh, it's so wonderful love is. But at least I know in my own heart, I'm envious all the time. Envious of other people, envious of what they have, envious of their successes, envious of even their personalities maybe. Love doesn't insist on its own way. Yeah, that is beautiful. Too bad we don't do it. We're always insisting on our own way. In fact, that's pretty much how we live. Love never ends, Paul says. But our love, of course, ends the minute somebody does something we don't think we should love them anymore. We're blind, and 1 Corinthians 13 shows it. You know, we listen to this reading at weddings, and we just love it as if we all love in this way, but we don't. Now, this chapter, which I will talk about in a little bit, this chapter from 1 Corinthians 13, it's about the love of God. That's the love in the heart of God. It is not first and foremost about the love in your and my heart, but we're blind to that. We, like Elymas, this sorcerer, this magician, like Saul, who was going around arresting Christians, we are often blind. It's like every sinner since Adam. Now, that's the bad news. But here is the wonderful news. There is someone who cures blindness. It's unbelievable. He cures blindness. I challenge you to find anyone else in the entire world that can cure blindness. In John chapter 9, this is another story about blindness. Jesus heals a man that has been blind since he was born. And the religious leaders, they just cannot get over this because they've never seen anything like it. And so the whole chapter, John chapter 9, is all about them trying to find some reasonable explanation how this could have happened. And they're interrogating the blind man, they're interrogating his family, you know, trying to figure out something. Somebody must be lying. There's no way that he actually gave him his sight back. But he did. Jesus can do this. He's the one who made our eyes and made our hearts. And he's the only one who can open them up so that we can see again. So then, on the gospel reading today, he's on his way to Jericho. Here's Bartimaeus, who in his heart sees. And he says, what's all the commotion? What's all the commotion? It's Jesus. He's passing by. Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. Have mercy on me. He sees and hears. And so Jesus stops, says, bring him to me. He says, what do you want me to do for you? Let me see, Jesus, let me see. And Jesus says, your faith has made you well. See. And he sees. I told you that we were blind to 1 Corinthians 13. But Jesus wants us to really see 1 Corinthians 13. He wants us to see that that is his love for you and me. He loves blind sinners. He loves sinners who aren't patient, who aren't kind, who insist on their own way, who are rude and arrogant and constantly envious. He loves us. And he loves us with a love that is patient and kind, that doesn't insist on its own way. And he wants us to see that. He was on his way when he passed Bartimaeus in Jericho. He was on his way to Jerusalem to go and suffer and die for the sins of the world. And that's what he wants to open our hearts and our eyes to see. And I think it's kind of cool that, you know, if you think about the scene there, this now church is kind of like a little Jericho. When I, in the area I grew up, I went to high school in this town called Nashville. And before you got to Nashville, there was this little area they called Little Nashville. Really clever, right? But had a little McDonald's and gas station, hotel and stuff. Well, I kind of think this is Little Jericho every time we get together. Because here we are blind in our own sin. We can't even see all of our own faults. And Jesus comes. Where two or three are gathered, here Jesus comes to be with us. And we say, have mercy. That's what we do, right? We sang it this morning. Lord, have mercy on us. Just like Bartimaeus. And Jesus says, what do you want me to do for you? What do you want me to do for you guys? And like Bartimaeus, we say every week, let us see again. Let us see. Let us see our own sin and our own blindness and our own weaknesses, but most of all, let us see your love and your forgiveness. And he does that. He opens our hearts, he opens our eyes to see the great love that he has for us. Now, when we get to heaven, of course, you know, we're all going to see perfectly. Up here, for one, no more glasses. I feel like in the last year, a lot of our members have been having eye surgeries, different cataracts and stuff. None of that, okay? You'll see perfectly when you get to heaven. But you're also going to see perfectly in here. and see Jesus face to face. Now Jesus, when he comes here to you and me in his church and in his word and sacraments, he wants us to see that. Did you hear what Paul said in 1 Corinthians 13? Now we see in part. We see Jesus in part. We see his love and his forgiveness. Then we will see it fully. So, friends in Christ, God opens our eyes so that you and I, by his grace, we can love, like 1 Corinthians 13. We can love one another and not just see everyone else's faults, but see that everyone else is just like us, sinners, who needs the love of Jesus Christ. And we can be patient and kind and not envious or boasting or rude. And when Jesus opens our hearts, then we hear those great words he says to Bartimaeus, that your faith has made you well. Your faith in Jesus has made you well. In Jesus' name, amen. Peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.